Hello, and welcome to episode 349 of Awards Daily's Watercooler Podcast. I'm your host, Clarence Moy, and I am joined by the other two M's, plus the person that lives in the back of my head. So, M's, let's go around the cooler and tell the listeners who you are and where they can find you on the internet. Megan, we'll start with you this week.
Hi, I'm Megan McLaughlin. You can find me on Twitter at HeyDudeMeg.
Joey?
Hi, I'm Joey Moser. You can find me on Twitter at JoeyMoser83.
And again, I'm Clarence Moy. You can find me on Twitter at Clarence Moy. So we finally got through that one. That's the magic of podcasting, that after, what, five or six aborted attempts, we finally got through the opener.
Yeah.
We're a little rusty. It took last
Joey being kidnapped by Gabriel or taken by Gabriel, possibly.
It's like, what's Joey's evil twin name or absorbed twin's name?
It would be, we're just spoiling this movie outright.
I mean, it's a month.
They don't even know what we're talking about, so it's
true. All right. So obviously we are talking about Malignant today because, spoiler alert, it is October and it is the month of Halloween. So if you're looking for a scary movie, there's lots of great ones out there, and then there's Malignant.
I like Malignant.
I think it's one of the worst movies I've ever seen.
Are you serious? Oh my God, I had so much fun with this movie. Yeah, see, I loved it.
Thing. I could not figure out if it was intended to be serious or fun.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I think that my bar was pretty low because I'm also excited for anything that's original, is what I feel I've realized, that anything that's like new and has a new story. So that was what I responded to. I think I like Annabelle Wallace, the actress who plays the lead, Madison, but I feel like the writing and maybe the acting could have been like a little stronger with this character, because you really don't know anything about her. And it could have been a really fun, almost campy thing, because it is campy at points, but I feel like it could have been better. But I enjoyed it.
It is incredibly campy in the very beginning. And this is, I mean, you know, obviously we're going to be talking about this film. It's been out since September the 10th, almost a month now. So if you haven't seen Malignant, perhaps this is not the podcast for you. That's okay. You can come back next week when we talk about something else. But we're going to pretty much spoil the crap out of this, because I don't think you can talk about Malignant without talking about The Secrets. Although I will say I did not see it on opening day, but Twitter pretty much through... You know how that thing that people do when they tweet things and they're like, you know, out of context, you know, Malignant.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It was always about twins, or it was about, you know, absorbed gourds or something like that.
I knew nothing going into this.
Me too. I knew nothing.
I knew nothing. So I was like, oh, wow. Oh, wow.
I kind of figured out just based on like things that whispers that people had mentioned.
Yeah.
I didn't know any outright spoilers, but I do think it is intended to be campy, because I can't think that James Wan who directed this, who also directed The Conjuring, a lot of The Conjuring series. He's a very good director. He's a very good thriller director, a very good horror director. But the opening sequence is so over the top and terrible.
Oh, yeah.
That can't be anything but campy, where at one point a character screams at the camera, "We're going to have to cut out the cancer." And at that point, I'm just like, uh-huh.
Wait a minute. But didn't it remind you of Stranger Things?
I did not make that association.
Oh my God. I was like, oh, cool. This is Stranger Things. Like, because Stranger Things is campy as fuck, I think, and actually cheesier, like much cheesier. This is going to be a Justice for Malignant podcast for me, because I just think, I don't know, maybe it's because so few horror films surprise me anymore, but this one did. And I liked that it took the evil twin and kind of spun it on its head, so to speak, pun unintended. I thought it was, I would have liked to have seen like an actress, like I said, I like Annabelle Wallace, but I would have liked to have seen somebody who would maybe have a little more fun with this, but maybe she was told to play it straight. But her sister could have been like, her sister was kind of fun. There were a lot of cheesy moments in it though, too, I guess. But yeah, it reminded me of Stranger Things. Opening.
Yeah, I mean, I'm balancing back and forth on whether or not that this is intended to be camp. It probably is. I did have a good time watching it. I do think the acting is probably It's a well-made film. I just think the acting is so bad. I think that really just turned me off of it. Like, not just her, but, you know, just everything is on a very high scale. Like, a, I don't know how to describe it better. The cops are like, they're super copy, if you know what I mean. They're just very, like, ripped out of CSI or something like that.
Well, totally, it's kind of all over the place, because in the beginning it is campy. Yeah. Then it goes into a serious, like, oh, it's about a woman who's abused, you right. know. Yeah,
didn't see that coming. My God.
Yeah, and you know, and then she keeps losing these pregnancies, which is super serious. And then it's like, you know, then you've got the cop that kind of wants to get with her sister. That's kind of cheesy, and you know, you're like, it's like, I don't know, it's kind of all over the place in that way.
It is all over the place. I will say that it told me that there is a city or a town underground.
You didn't know that?
I did not know that. And I
knew that.
Very intrigued by that. And now, yeah, next summer when I go on my cross-country trip with my son, we are now going to Seattle so that I can see the city underground.
Yeah, totally.
So that was fun. Yeah. So let me back up a little bit, because we jumped all over the place ourselves. Malignant, again, is directed by James Wan, and is about a woman who, as Megan mentioned, is pregnant, trying to keep her pregnancy after suffering several miscarriages. She lives with her husband, who is abusive, and at one point he gets angry because she turned off the TV, I think it was, and because she was feeling sick, so she wanted to rest in bed. She turned off his game, and he got really pissed. And so he pushed her, and her head hits the wall. And that became the catalyst for other things to happen. And, you know, bodies started piling up. There's a ring-like creature that appears every now and again. Yeah, and then there's a lot of really gruesome murders. And then it culminates in a kind of crazy police shootout sequence in a police station where, like, what, 45 people die?
Yeah.
The, like, the prison,
the
scene. Yeah, the scene where she basically, where shit goes down. Yeah. Like, that was, like, I probably yelled out, what the fuck, like, 8 times, but I was, like, laughing, and It was crazy. It was like she turned into like an evil Avenger and she couldn't be hurt. It was sort of, she's running backwards and, you know, bending her back, and oh my God, it was fucking crazy. I loved it. I loved the end. Getting to the end was absolutely insane.
I will say the last 30 minutes is just probably the better part of the film, because that's just when it just lets everything go.
But and, you I will know, say everyone,
you need, oh, go ahead.
I was just going to say is that everyone kept talking about, like, the last third of the movie, it's crazy. And I saw that, you know, leading up to me watching it. I don't think I could have prepared myself for that shit.
I think you needed the build up to it.
You do.
Because I actually watched, after I watched Malignant, I watched The Exorcist last night, because Unspooled did a podcast on it. And I didn't really have any desire to watch it before the podcast, but then after listening to it, I'm like, okay, I'm gonna watch this. And
you had seen it before, right?
I'd never seen it. Mm-mm.
What?
Mm-hmm. So they talked about how, like, there, you need the buildup for that movie, and I kind of felt the same way about Malignant, because things have to be pieced together. Granted, it's not a character study in Madison, but, you know, having the figuring out that her head is hurting, you know, that she's got the pain in the back of the neck, and that learning that, like, that you know, that hit against the wall is what started this whole thing. And I don't know, you had to, like, kind of see all of that get pieced together in order to appreciate how it ends, I think.
Yeah, I mean, that's part of the process for sure. It's just the last 30 is really where starting with the cell block tango, that becomes a lot of fun at that point. It's interesting. There's actually an actress that's cast as Madeline walking backwards. Is it Madeline?
Madison.
Oh, there is Madison walking backwards. Really,
the physical performer as Gabriel. And I guess that's
wow.
Yeah.
Well, I just love that aspect of the fact that it's like Gabriel has to like completely unhinge her body in order to walk straight. I just thought it was so bonkers. I love movies that are just like, we're going to go for it. And they did. And I love the whole, I love that whole sequence of like, you know, hearing the bones crack and everything.
She's on America's Got Talent. She was. She was a body contortionist on America's Got Talent.
Wow.
That is insane. And follow.
I will say there's a sequence, there's a moment where a person falls through the ceiling of a den. And I was so fucking confused for like 5 minutes. I'm like, wait, what? Like, I thought that scene, the space that's in the attic was actually in like a subway or something. Like, why does this woman have a giant fan in her attic? It's like a train station fan or like a, you know what I'm talking about? Like, mm-hmm. I was so confused when that happened.
Oh, so you thought that she was at the train station being kept there?
I did. Yes.
Okay. Okay. Maybe they wanted you to kind of not know. Well, I figured it was a house somewhere.
Yeah, I was just, I was like, what is going on? Like, is this like they're traveling through a different dimension or she's traveling through space and time or something? I was like, what? But that was fun. I mean, you know, I guess I should lighten up about it. I mean, it is not a good movie, but it is a fun movie.
Yeah, I had so much fun with this. Like, I just thought, oh, I can see why people liked it because it's just silly. And I think actually it could have been sillier. And I think I would have enjoyed it a little more if it would have been a little like acknowledging how fucked up the whole thing is instead of taking itself seriously at points.
True.
Oh, God. I can't get over the last 30 minutes of this movie. Even just thinking about it right now, it just makes me laugh. It just makes me laugh. You know, murder, crazy bloodshed murder in this movie made me just laugh my face off.
The last scene is really funny because so with Madison's birth mother, mm-hmm. and how she's at the hospital, and like, so when Madison saves her sister, and then like, it just mm-hmm. ends with the birth mother looking on like, oh, good. Like, I'm here in this hospital bed, very close to death, but I'm glad that my daughter is okay, you know. Even, like, the fact that the fucked up shit that happened with her birth mom, like, it is, you know, it is totally all over the place that it's like, oh, I've got somebody in the back of my head. My mother was raped at the age of 15 and had a baby that was two-headed, basically. Like, it's just like, whoa. Like,
0 to 60. The movie goes 0 to 60 in a lot of ways.
It goes 0 to 60 in a lot of ways. Like,
this makes like Insidious look like Muppet Babies.
I've never seen Insidious.
Oh, I love Insidious.
Insidious, that's some fucked up shit.
That is.
But I love The Conjuring, and I think James Wan's direction is amazing. Like the way that you're looking over it, like you're looking into a dollhouse. Is what mm-hmm. I really that mm-hmm. scene where they're like following her from above. And she's running around. I thought mm-hmm. that was really, I usually hate whenever you can tell it's all CGI, but I liked whenever she would go into her realm of like her mental prison of watching the murders and like how it would kind of shift and completely change. And that she's like in an altered state. I thought that was really cool. And it didn't look too like CGI'd to me, but that maybe that was just me.
It's not the same, but there's a similar technique that he uses in Insidious when characters go into another place. It's more advanced technologically in Malignant, but there's something very similar in Insidious. You should see Insidious. It's a good idea.
Yeah, I should. Now that I'm watching horror, which I really did like The Exorcist, by the way. Yeah, it was very good.
Poor Ellen Burstyn's back still hurts from The Exorcist.
I know, and Linda Blair too has a permanent injury from that film.
I can't believe they're making poor Ellen Burstyn go back and do another Exorcist.
Are they really?
Yeah, they're rebooting The Exorcist, and she's going to be in it.
Oh my God!
With Leslie Odom Jr.
No, really?
No is it more. A movie? It's no. It's like a trilogy, isn't it?
They made it a TV show too, and that didn't work. Yeah. I forgot about that with Gina Davis.
A new $400 million trilogy.
It's so unnecessary. It's so unnecessary.
Is this going to be like a
God, Megan, evil never dies.
It's like Halloween. Like, not to go on a tangent about horror films, but how can you get excited about Halloween when it's like, you know what's going to happen? He's going to kill everyone. Like,
yeah.
You can't stop him. Like, is there any kind of fun at all? Like, you know, it'll never end.
Not as long as there's a dollar that they can squeeze out of the American consumer. Michael Myers
Danny
will never
McBride's
die.
Involved. Isn't Danny McBride like the producer of it or his?
I think he wrote it.
Oh, did he write the last one?
Yeah. And David Gordon Green directed.
Yeah. I thought the last one wasn't that good. Everybody loved it, but I was like,
I liked the Halloweeniness. Well, not just that, you know, Halloween is Halloween, but I mean, like, I don't know. There's something about there's something CVS Halloween aisle about it that I like. Like, that's an actual compliment that I give certain horror movies that are like overly acknowledge the fact that it is Halloween and how like candy coated
like
and
that?
Stupid it is.
So
I kind of like that.
Whoopi Halloween. Did you like that one?
No.
Thank God.
I liked that there was a movie just focused on Halloween, like Whoopi Halloween, but dear God, don't make me watch that again.
Yeah, no, that's a terrible movie.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I was actually fairly disappointed in the original, I mean, in the 2018 Halloween as well. But one of the things that I'm really concerned about with Halloween Kills, is it? Is that the sequel, Halloween Kills?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Is that I thought the last Halloween, the 2018 one, was shockingly brutal. Like
this. Oh
yeah.
God, this one.
And
looks
now they're talking
brutal.
About. Yeah, now they're talking about this one is like people throwing up and stuff. Like when they see it, I'm like, I'm kind of nervous about that.
What's the last one called? The next one after this
ends. Halloween ends.
Yeah, that's it.
Okay.
Quote unquote.
Is that just about like how Christmas comes or something?
And then they're going to pretend like these ones didn't exist and then have another series that like, well, this is a direct sequel to the first one again. Like, you know, it's
well,
just,
don't
it's
forget
annoying.
The prequel, the inevitable prequel series about child Michael Myers in the mental institution or something like that.
Being bullied for not taking off his Halloween.
Like, this is why he's evil. Thank God we did a series about it.
Yeah, and then you've got to have Kenneth Branagh play Dr. Loomis or somebody like that.
Jesus Christ.
Oh, my God.
Christ.
You laugh because you know it's true.
I know.
I think I saw that. Wasn't that on Deadline? Like when?
Yeah.
I think I saw that announcement. Oh, Jesus.
So,
to get back to Malignant, they're totally going to have a sequel, right? Like, I feel like
for sure.
The way it sets it up, it's like, I was even telling my mother about it. I'm like, there's totally going to be a sequel. She's
can
like,
they make
yes.
a sequel, but can they call it Benign?
I was wondering about that. I was like, I was thinking about like, oh, I get it now. Like Malignant. I was like, thought it was just like, you know, it makes so much sense now. I liked going into it knowing nothing. Because now I'm like, oh, I'm glad I didn't know too much.
It'll, they may do something like a straight to HBO Max.
Yes, that's what I'm like thinking. That. Yeah.
I don't think James Wan would direct another one because it was a massive flop, even considering that it was on HBO Max.
But then everybody was talking about it, which is really funny.
They were, but it died pretty quickly, I think.
I guess that's sort of like the trajectory of a horror movie at the box office. So like everyone's talking about it and then it just goes away. So
yeah.
I guess it's the same.
It'll be interesting to see with Halloween Kills, considering that it will be on Peacock.
God, that's right.
I wonder how that will do at the box office. I mean, I'm probably going to go see it in the theater just because I'm ready to go back to the theater.
I think Malignant would be a fun movie to see in a theater. Like
with people. Yeah.
Yes. I just think it's a fun movie in general. It's just like for something that like is, it's highly original. It plays on what like expectations of the evil twin and things like that. And I just think it's like, I think it kind of got a bad rap. I think given different circumstances, I would have totally seen this in the theater. And been like, oh, I've got to, like, I want to see this with a crowd, because I just think it's, I don't think it's bad at all. I think it's something that could, you know, down the road end up being some sort of, not a classic, but like a mainstay, like kind of the same way like Practical Magic has become like this, everybody loves this Halloween type of movie. Like, I feel like, not that this would be like that, but you know, sometimes movies find that way of like,
yeah,
staying with you and like becoming a, almost like a cult classic.
Yeah.
I feel like this one might have some fun staying power.
Did I miss the scene where they spin the spoon? Is that
from Practical Magic?
Yeah.
I don't even remember.
Well, obviously it wasn't that good of a mainstay.
I'm sorry. Well, I mean, well, now everybody like talks about, I remember when that came out, it like bombed. Don't you remember?
Yeah.
And like, and now everybody's like, I love Practical Magic. It's such a good Halloween movie. Or even like Hocus Pocus. Like, I mean, I didn't see that movie because my dad was the first Roger Ebert I knew. And he told me that looks like a piece of crap. And so my brother and I were like, well, we're not going to see that.
And it is.
It is.
How dare you? No.
We watch it every year, but it is a piece of garbage.
It's not good.
No, it is not. This is not the discussion. This is not where this middle of the conversation is going.
I'd rather watch Casper.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Those are not
that
comparable.
Killed it. Devin Sala? No? Ghost Devin Sala? No?
Is Christina Ricci in that?
Yes, she is.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. What is a, I don't know. We always watch, I think we're going to put Practical Magic in our Halloween rotation this year, because I haven't seen it since I think it first came out. Like, I think I saw it on VHS.
I saw it in the theater. I remember because my friend wanted to sneak in to see I Still Know What You Did Last Summer. Mm. And I was like, you know, we won't be able to lie to our parents about it. So I made her go see Practical Magic.
Who? Was it Amy?
It was Amy.
Oh, my God.
She was mad at me. She's like, we could have made it in there. And I'm like, you know, we would not lie. You know, we would.
At Carmike Cinemas Plaza 6? No, you could not.
Yes. We totally would have. Yeah, we totally would have balked.
Speaking of that one, did you know that Amazon has a new series? I Know What You Did Last Summer.
Yeah, I did know that.
I have screeners for it, and I'm.
Why is it not called I Will Always Know What You Did Last Summer, since it's a TV show? Because
it's basically a reboot. It's,
yeah.
But the thing is, when you watch the trailer for it, it's just like, it says like, everyone I know is a terrible person, and that's why they're dying. I was like, so is he coming after you because you guys are shitty, or is it because you hit him with a car? I need a clarification.
Well, I just think that I Always Know What You Did Last Summer would be a better title, because it's a series, so it's going to keep
there
going.
There already is.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It's a series, though. It's going to keep going. So it makes sense to just take that title instead of the other ones.
Well, I read the description of it, and they referred to the quote unquote iconic 1997 film. And I have to pause. I have to put a pause on that.
No.
And ask people to reaffirm their usage of the term iconic.
It's like, that's like saying Can't Hardly Wait is iconic. Like, maybe at the time, but now, no.
No, Clueless and Mean Girls are iconic.
Right. Yeah. I Know What You Did Last Summer was just like a runoff from Scream. That's what it was. Mm-hmm. And even had a party of five actors in it. Jesus. Like, come on.
When does the new Scream trailer come out?
It comes out the weekend that the 25th or the anniversary.
Right. It's this weekend.
When they,
the
4K. Weekend?
It's the 10th. Yeah. It's the 10th when they're doing the restoration screenings.
The restoration screenings of Scream, which I'm totally going to. Cause I was obsessed. Still am obsessed. Can't wait for Twitter to run that into the ground.
Yeah, I know.
Well, I mean, they've got, you know, there's Ryan Showers has that podcast, and I saw that he had spoken to Nev Campbell.
Oh, my God.
He met her. He did, like, someone did something for, no, he did that. I think it was someone did, like, it wasn't a cameo.
Something like that? Okay.
Yeah, I don't think he interviewed her, but he probably could get her for an interview, because his podcast is very extensive, very detailed.
Wow.
Ryan had me on the podcast.
I was going to say, you haven't been on it yet? You're like,
I know. I can't believe that.
Biggest Scream freak I know.
I was fully anticipating it.
Just because I'm a faggot. We all love Scream.
Did you see that you can stay in the Scream house?
Yeah, I thought that was pretty funny.
Oh, my God.
It was like $1 or $5 or something like that. I mean, it was like.
That's it.
Yeah.
I didn't realize it was
that's why you should have honeymooned with Jason. Like, honey, you want to go to the Scream House?
You would have been like, no.
All right, let's see if we can bring this train back on track. So, Megan, you've revisited The Exorcist, or visited, yes, The Exorcist for the first time. Mm-hmm. What are you going to watch next in your Halloween binging?
Well, I was planning on watching Dear Evan Hansen at some point.
Are you going to watch the iconic I Know You
Did Last Summer? Maybe. I don't know what I'm going to watch next. The Exorcist was kind of random because of the podcast that I was listening to. But I do want to say that How Did This Get Made is doing Malignant this week. So we beat them to it, I guess. But I look forward to listening to that one. But I don't know if I don't know what horror movie I have to see yet. Maybe Insidious.
Yeah, you should see Insidious.
Watch Insidious. You know what movie I have been trying to track down and I can't find it anywhere? No, shut the fuck up. Have you ever seen that movie Cherry Falls with Brittany Murphy?
You used to be obsessed with that.
Well, I saw it was like Brittany Murphy and like I think Jay Moore is in it. So
it's, yeah, he is. And Michael Biehn.
Oh, Jesus Christ. I don't know where you can watch it. And I know the only thing is there's one shot that I think is probably be ever forever burned in my brain, where it's sort of a satire and sort of a flip of horror movie tropes where the killer is targeting virgins. So everyone is racing to have sex. It's called Cherry Falls. And I think the big finale takes place, all the kids are having an orgy or something like that. But the serial killer it's the type of slasher movie where the serial killer runs. And it's really freaky when they run. He has this long black wig. And I think I don't even remember who the killer is. I don't even remember the movie. But I think there's one shot of the killer running down the hallway in a high school, and it's chasing after Brittany Murphy. And it scared the shit out of me when I watched it. So I'm going to try and track that down.
Oh, no, I want to watch that too.
When the serial killer runs, it's a terrifying thing.
I never thought about that, but that's really true.
I do love that commercial. God, this is the most random podcast ever. Do you guys see that commercial where I think it's an insurance company where it's these kids are in a horror film and they're being chased by a chainsaw murderer and they're
I love that commercial.
Let's get in the car. Let's get in the running car. And they're like, no, let's go hide behind the wall of chainsaws.
Yes.
I love that commercial.
Oh, also, same thing about slasher movies, about the dumb relative that I have they were talking about before. Before we were recording, I remember when Urban Legend, which I still think is a fun horror movie.
You love that one a lot. Yeah.
I love Rebecca Gayheart and her crazy hair. I remember having a phone conversation with this relative who I cannot stand. Her name is Tara. I don't care if she listens. She doesn't. She's stupid. Stupid cow. I remember she called me because she saw it before I did, and she was like, I gotta let you know, it's better than Scream. And I just hung up on her. I was like, I can't
talk. Oh my god,
how dare you.
That would be something that you would end relationships over. I mean, you and I got into a fight over Muppets. So
I was just getting ready to say that.
Muppets.
Yes, and now she's an anti-vaxxer who doesn't believe in masks.
Yeah. Who the or his relative? I was saying me. I was like, no.
Negative skin.
What else are we going to talk about? So let's go around and so Cherry Falls is a great example of a horror film that doesn't get a lot of play today, not like I Know What You Did Last Summer. What's another example that perhaps our viewers can, our eagle eye viewers who can scour the internet for copies of this, because apparently it is not available through legal means. What are some other lesser known horror films?
I always liked Teeth, the Vagina Dentata movie.
Yes. Yes. It's real.
Which I'm surprised it has not had a resurgence, given that Jennifer's Body has totally now been owned by taken it, I don't know, we kind of, women have taken it back. It was like a bomb. I remember going to see it opening weekend and it freaked me out. But I feel like the vagina dentata. I mean, it's about a girl who has teeth in her vagina, and her vagina will cut off guys' dicks whenever, like, all these guys try to rape her in the movie, which is why I'm like surprised this is in the Me Too like age, why this movie has not like become huge again. Yeah. But I remember I could not wait to see it. And it came out what, like 10 years ago, I think.
Yeah, maybe. Kinda like 2007, maybe.
Is that when it came out?
Maybe 2009. Jeez. 2007. Yep.
2007. So a long time, 14 years ago. But yeah, it's just like, it's a good horror film, like a body. I mean, body horror is really big right now. So I think that's one that's worth watching.
I have one. I was kind of, as a young child, I was obsessed with this movie. I would see it on like HBO years and years ago. It came out in 1982. So that shows you how old the movie is. It is kind of like if Friday the 13th and Porky's had a baby.
Oh,
it's called Pandemonium, which, yeah, it stars Carol Kane, Paul Rubens, Eve Arden, Tom Smothers, Eileen Brennan, Judge Reinhold, Tab Hunter, and Phil Hartman.
Oh my God.
I want to watch this right
What's
now.
What's it about?
It's a comedy. It's about a, it starts with a flashback sequence where all these cheerleaders are, they're creating a cheer based on their favorite vegetable, and they're all walking in a line when they leave the field, and someone throws a javelin across the football field and spears them all, and basically make what they refer to as a human shish kebab.
Oh my God.
And so there's a cheerleader who comes back like several years later back to the school, there's a serial killer on the loose, and they're killed in very comical ways. I will warn you that there's a lot of horror films that came out in the early 80s that had the main killer as a transgendered person. And so this definitely falls prey to that. And I won't spoil anything. So it is not politically correct. It would never be. It's probably why it's not even available, widely available. But if people can find it, and if you're willing to overlook a very antiquated sort of take on transgender people, it is a fun movie. If you overlook that, if you're able to overlook that.
I've never even heard of that.
Yeah, never even heard of it.
Yeah. There's a horror movie from like the early 2000s. What was it called? It was called, I have a DVD of it, Behind the Mask, The Rise of Leslie Vernon.
Yeah.
I love that movie where Leslie Vernon's like an aspiring serial killer. And he like invites a film crew to like sort of document it. I saw it at like a test screening at the Southside Works Theater in Pittsburgh, and I thought it was awesome. So when it came out on DVD, I bought it, and I don't think I've ever watched it since, but I remember really enjoying it.
it is highly spoken of in horror circles.
Oh, wow. What's it called again?
Behind the Mask, The Rise of Leslie Vernon.
Okay, I'll have to look that up.
And every time somebody says Leslie Vernon, I think about that guy from Will and Grace.
Leslie Jordan?
Yeah.
Leslie Jordan.
Yeah.
That'd be so much fun if they redid the movie and it was just Leslie Jordan.
Yeah, I'd watch that.
Like, oh my God, I'm going to kill you.
Yeah, but you couldn't run that fast, though.
Oh.
All right. Anything else for Halloween viewing pleasure?
No.
All right, let's jump to the flash forward to the media we're most anticipating in the upcoming week. And Joey, why don't you go first?
Sure. I really want to see the movie Lamb.
Oh, yeah.
With Noomi Rapace, who I still just anything she's in, I will watch it because I love her. It's her and I don't know the other person's name, but it's about like a couple who can't have a kid, and they discover I think they discover a newborn, and I think it takes place in Iceland. It sort of just looks like they're, I don't really know what the movie's about. I've seen some images and I saw the trailer, and I think that they, looks like they stole a lamb and are raising it as a kid, but like the mom lamb is really mad. That's probably not what the plot is, but it looks really weird, and I'm really excited to see it. And I'm gonna check out Diana the Musical just because I heard, since we're talking about things that are horrific, I saw where someone says, you know how Princess Diana was very open with, you know, dealing with AIDS patients. You know, she was like, she hugged a person on air who had AIDS, and people were like, whoa, you can't do that. And apparently the man with AIDS sings the line, "I may be unwell, but I'm handsome as hell." So,
my God,
I have to watch this. And I'm pretty sure the only reason they put it on Netflix is because they knew if it's not going to close already, they knew it would close in a week. So they thought they would get more eyeballs on it on Netflix.
It's produced by Frank Marshall.
Oof. Really?
Yes.
My God.
Clutching your pearls there, Leslie, huh?
Oh, it's just like, Jesus Christ.
Megan.
I do want to see Lamb too, even though I think it might be too freaky for me. Although I did want to say to my dog that, like, I would raise you as a person. I thought it was like that they're raising the lamb as like the lamb is like has human characteristics, is what I understood it as.
That's terrifying.
Yeah. So it's like part, like, if you see the in the trailer where the lamb is like walking like a child.
No. Like, no.
You didn't see that part? Like it.
Yeah. Nope.
I'm obsessed. If I did,
don't remember it.
Scene.
Freaks me out to hear you say it.
I'm obsessed with that scene, so I don't know if I don't know if it'll give me nightmares.
Oh
so
my God, we should go see it at the same time.
I might be too afraid. I might have to watch during the day. But I'm excited about, so I'm reading the book The Simpsons Secret, and it's
what is that?
By James Hicks and Lydia Pulteney. I got a you know, we get screeners. I got a advanced copy of the book. And it's about how The Simpsons has predicted everything. And it's pretty fun. It's just the, fun to.
Oh my God. The title is A Cromulent Guide to How This, a perfectly Cromulent word. Oh my God, I need this book.
Yeah, I'll let you borrow it after I'm done reading it. I'm blowing through it because it's really fun. So I'm reading that, and then I'm looking forward to Legends of the Hidden Temple is coming to CW. And
what?
It's like for adults though, and I think that is the most genius thing that they could have done, because they've been trying to reboot so many things, and you realize no, kids aren't going to get this, but the parents are. So it's like, it is for adults. It is, and it's going to be on, CW at 8 o'clock on Sunday. So I'm excited about that. And then I need to, keep watching. Hightown is coming back soon. Screeners for that. And, hopefully maybe Dear Evan Hansen and maybe some of the other scary movies like Dear Evan Hansen.
Don't watch that.
No, really?
Don't. I don't want to hear you go on and on about how much you hate it.
No, actually, I don't think I'm going to hate it, to be honest. No, I really don't. I think I might hate him, but I don't think I'll hate it. So, okay.
I didn't hate it. I don't like the show, and I was fully prepared to be like, okay, because Jason really wanted to watch it because he likes the music, and I was like, this is fine. I don't understand.
No, I think I can keep an open mind for this one more so than like something like The Prom. No offense, Prom fans.
The Prom sucks.
The Prom is terrible.
No, I actually think, like, I didn't think it looked that bad to begin with. I think the only thing that looks bad about it is that he just looks too old. He's probably just too old. That's it.
I will say that you get used to it. You get used to it after a few. And he's, you know, say what you will about Ben Platt, he is a very good singer. And
oh, yeah, totally.
And this is his role. I mean, I know why they cast him in it. I know why he's in it. But I just will say that I had a really nice special moment seeing it with my daughter, because I took her to a screening.
Great.
And she loved it. And we had a great time. And so that definitely
helps. That's so sweet.
Put a shellacking over a nice varnish over the flaws.
Yeah.
And it's not a perfect film, but I did enjoy it.
No, I actually thought, like, I don't think it looks that bad. So that's why I was really wanting to watch it, just more out of like curiosity, not to make fun of it.
All right. Well, if you see it, we should talk about it because I'm very interested in this whole phenomenon of people who, film critics, who are just absolutely in shock and awe and horror about the plot, about what he does. And I'm just like, what? You act like he's Hitler. You act like this is a...
Sounds like it's something other characters have done even on Saved by the Bell, to be honest. Like,
yeah, like probably so.
Yeah.
All right. So anything else?
No.
Okay.
What about you? Did you go?
Yeah. What do you want to watch?
Yeah.
So three things. I have started Leanne Moriarty's next book. Apples Never Fall. It is a very long audiobook, and I'm not entirely sold on it yet, but I'm just waiting for it to kick in. It's No Big Little Lies. I'm not even sure it's a Nine Perfect Strangers. Mm-hmm. But so I've got about 14 hours and 42 minutes left of that. it's so funny, too. When I'm walking, I listen to it when I'm on my walk, and I take about an hour walk every day. And it's not like I'm a huge nature person, but I'll get lost in the trees and then realize I have no idea what's going on. I've been listening to this thing for 15 minutes and it's just been playing and playing and I have no idea.
That's how I've been with the impeachment book, because I started reading the impeachment book and it's awful. It's like Jeffrey Toobin, you know, I love the OJ one. This one is just tangent after tangent. And I'm like, what's going on? Anyway, continue.
Anyway, we'll need to talk about that one. I'm sure we'll talk about a future date. TV show. I have some screeners to catch up on, but I really want to see. I want to catch up on things like The Chair. I have not seen that.
That's good.
I did finish Only Murders in the Building, which I loved.
I need to catch up on that too.
It is so much fun. It is going to be a huge Emmy nominee, I think, next year.
Ooh, I love that.
I do too.
I think I don't think there's any way that Steve Martin and Martin Short don't get nominated for Best Actor. I mean, they are both.
Martin Short
is so great.
Martin Short just screaming. I think I've said it before, but Martin Short just screaming is quite literally music to my ears. It's well done. It's well plotted. I'm surprised when I found out. I thought it was 8 episodes and it's 10. And then I was just like, they can't possibly keep this. I'm on episode 8. No.
You're on 9.
I'm on 9. Yeah. And it's well done. And I think, I don't know. I'm impressed with how well they stuck it out.
I will say I was fully on board with Martin Short's the Emmy winner here, or the Emmy nominee. And then Steve Martin has a scene, an extended sequence in the finale that is a lot like Leonardo DiCaprio in Wolf of Wall Street. And that's all I'll say. And it just reminds me of what a fantastic physical comedian he is. And he is just, they're both treasures. I really love the show. Couldn't recommend it higher. I also have a screener to something that Apple TV Plus has coming up with Will Ferrell, Paul Rudd, Catherine Hahn, and Casey Wilson.
Yes, yes.
Called The Shrink Next Door.
Oh, my God. I got those two, and I'm so excited.
Yeah. And then movie-wise, I don't know that I'm not a Bond fan, so I'm probably not going to go see that. But if I have time, I would like to go to the Scream screening, 25th anniversary screening.
Yeah,
We should all just go see Lamb, I'm telling you.
I'm going to have to see it in the broad daylight, because you know how I feel about animals that, like, have human characteristics. I freak out.
Did you watch that Netflix movie? TV series?
No, I never got to. I forgot that it came out. Like, that freaked. That would probably freak me out too. But
wait, which thing?
The one I can't remember what it was called, but it was like the deer, the half deer, half baby.
Oh, Sweet Tooth or
Sweet
something.
Sweet Tooth. Yeah. That's it. That's it.
Fuck
that's
it. That.
Oh, that I was thinking of the dating show. People dressed up as mascots or whatever.
No. There's a kid. There's Sweet Tooth. It's like a child. It's a half deer, half baby.
Oh, God. But I heard it's very popular.
It was very popular for Yeah. So those are the things I'm looking forward to in the upcoming week. Does that cover it?
Yeah.
Okay, let's get the hell out of here. So we are the 3M's contributors, Joey Moser, Megan McLaughlin, and me, Clarence Moy, thanking you for joining us, asking you to remember to rate us on Apple Podcasts or wherever you find us, and wishing you a very pleasant tomorrow.
I'm running back. I'm sorry. I was running backwards to the phone to try to get back on the line.
Okay. Hold on. I did hit record again. oh, it's recording now. Okay. Hello and welcome to episode 349 of Awards Daily's Water Cooler Podcast. I'm your podcast. What is that?
Podcast.
Podcast.
It's called podcast.
What if that's as good as it gets all night?
Please, can we just leave that in?
We'll put that at the end.
Podcast.
Hello and welcome to episode. Sorry. Hello and welcome to episode 349 of Awards Daily's Water Cooler Podcast. I'm your host, Clarence.
What was that?
Joey made me laugh. Okay, Joey, go on mute.
Okay, I'm sorry. Oh, fuck.